This is 89.1 WEMU, and on today's edition of Issues of the Environment, we're going to talk about the climate crisis and its adverse impacts on human health, particularly in communities of color and on the lower-income population. We'll also discuss efforts to address and change these outcomes. I'm David Fair, and our guest today recently retired after working 30 years as a surgical pathologist. Dr. Lisa Del Bono is founder and executive director of Michigan Clinicians for Climate Action, and serves as state coordinator for Citizens Climate Lobby in Michigan. Dr. Del Bono, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
30 years, that's a long medical career. As a clinician, did you always know that climate was impacting the health of some of your patients, or was that something you became aware of as you moved through your career?
I woke up to it later in my career, and really only after I became a climate advocate did I start connecting those dots.
At what point did you become aware that climate and health impacts are very much an environmental justice issue?
As I started doing my volunteer work with Citizens Climate Lobby, which I got into primarily because I was a parent concerned about how climate change would affect my son, I started connecting dots as a health professional when I looked at the health impacts of burning fossil fuels and the fact that burning fossil fuels has disproportionately affected frontline communities or the communities located closest to power plants and factories and inner cities disproportionately over time. As I started to look at that data, I began to see more and more how unfair that really is.
Well, let's talk about some of the ways that manifests itself. How has it affected human health in our underserved and low-income communities?
Well, I think the biggest impact comes around air pollution. The byproducts of burning fossil fuel come in a couple different forms. One of them is called ground-level ozone, which is basically air pollution that comes as a byproduct of burning the fossil fuels. Other are fine particles. When people breathe them in, there's a whole myriad of health impacts that affect the unborn child all the way through to old age, exacerbating chronic illnesses, leading to asthma, increasing the risk of cancer, and newer studies are finding correlations between even cognitive difficulties, things like Alzheimer's, and the incidence of Alzheimer's, and how much air pollution a person is exposed to. So, and if you look at the pandemic, you even find a correlation there between air pollution and the likelihood that somebody might die from COVID.
So when we talk about health impacts, we know that people have to enter the healthcare system, which means there's also an economic hardship to everyone. Have you studied the healthcare costs associated with climate-related health issues?
I have looked at some of the data that that other people have studied. I personally haven't done the investigation myself.
But there is a definite correlation between climate, health, and the costs to taxpayers.
Absolutely. There is a huge correlation. It's actually estimated in hundreds of billions of dollars per year. And that's based on a testimony by Drew Schendel from Duke University.
Issues of the Environment and our conversation with Dr. Lisa Del Bono continues on 89.1 WEMU. Dr. Del Bono is founder and executive director of Michigan Clinicians for Climate Action and serves as state coordinator for Citizens Climate Lobby in Michigan. Is it fair to say, Dr. Del Bono, that those most impacted by climate-related extreme weather and air pollution are those that actually have the smallest carbon footprints?
It is absolutely fair to say that. People who, in general, people who make less money tend to have less wealth, so they live in smaller homes, they have less cars, they travel less. All of those things translate into a smaller carbon footprint.
Let's talk about a process by which we may find some resolution. You are an advocate for putting a price on carbon emissions by enacting a fee on fossil fuel companies. What would that really look like?
So what this would do is it would put a fee on fossil fuel companies, not on, so the polluters, not on households. It would start low and it would go high. It would be as far upstream as possible, and it would create an incentive to transition to clean forms of energy, thereby cleaning up the air that is so adversely affecting these frontline communities.
There have been so many who have been pushing carbon cap and trade programs. How is this different?
That's a really important question. So all carbon pricing policies are not the same. And what's effective about a carbon fee is that it affects all sectors of the economy, and it does not allow for any carbon offsets or secondary carbon markets that allows the potential loopholes or hotspots that allow the polluters to continue to pollute by purchasing an offset someplace else and geographically. With a carbon fee, all fossil fuel companies are held accountable, and it works nicely with complementary policies such as regulations on local air pollutants that make sure those frontline communities are taken care of and not disproportionately affected.
How would the fees collected be put to work in the communities that have been hardest hit thus far?
Well, I think that depends upon what kind of carbon fee and dividend bill was introduced and passed. Currently, the one that Citizens Climate Lobby advocates for gives the fees, all of that collected revenues, directly back to households in the form of equal monthly dividends. There are other bills in play that have been introduced by Senators Kuhn and Durbin that take about 70 or 75% of those revenues and give it directly to those who have the lowest income and would correlate with the people with the lowest carbon footprint so that, again, they are protected. And then the extra money can be used in a variety of different ways.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU, and our Issues of the Environment guest is Dr. Lisa Del Bono. As we continue our discussion on environmental justice components of the climate crisis, let's talk a little about cause and effect. We all know most big businesses dislike regulations, taxes, and fees, and in most cases, the associated costs of that are passed on to the consumer. A carbon fee would almost certainly drive up the prices of oil and gas, and while it may speed the transition to renewables, as you pointed out, there are a lot of low-income folks who would bear the brunt in terms of personal transportation, the cost of food and housing. How does the plan advocate and address those concerns?
Yeah, this is where the dividend is such an important part of the policy. There have been many studies that have looked very specifically at if the revenues were returned back to American households, they demonstrate that about two-thirds of the population, low and middle-income families, would actually come out with more money in the pocket than the cost of living would increase because of the fee.
Now, how much conversation have you had with lawmakers at both the state and national level about pushing this plan forward? You mentioned there are some bills in play, but how close are we to actually seeing formal legislation?
Well, we think we're fairly close. Citizens Climate Lobby has been around since about 2008. I've been lobbying since about 2013. We're set up so that about 3 to 4 times a year, we meet with almost every single office in congressional office, both senators and representatives, and we develop relationships over time. So our Congress is aware of what a carbon fee and dividend program would look like, and we think that it could be an instrumental catalyst and backbone to any comprehensive suite of policies that are very likely to come down in the next few months from Congress as the Biden administration advocates for real solutions to climate change.
Has the response from lawmakers been as polarized as seemingly almost every other issue?
There is definitely some polarization, and we very much support a bipartisan approach because for two reasons. One, it would improve the longevity of a bill, and two, because cooperation and input from all sides is certainly appreciated. So then the question is, how do we engage both sides? And I think that that is a matter of trust, a matter of providing the opportunity for those who are concerned about speaking out publicly about it to truly investigate the pros and cons of a carbon price. And my guess is that as they begin to understand more and more that the political will is supportive of a answer to climate change, they will have the courage to come forward. Interestingly enough, if you look at polling, it's well over half of young Republicans less than 40 years of age support a market approach like a carbon fee and dividend approach to addressing climate change. So Republicans are likely to move in this direction because their base, their younger base, clearly supports this as a solution.
It is also going to be important to garner support of business and of the utilities across the country, including here in the state of Michigan. What have your conversations with those entities looked like?
Well, it's interesting because businesses are on board. The Chamber of Commerce, you know, nationally has come out to support a market approach to climate change, which would be like a carbon fee. And similarly, many Fortune 500 companies, et cetera, support that. In addition to that, we have gone then and talked to local businesses, and many, especially those who are directly feeling the impacts of climate change, are starting to speak publicly about this and appreciate this because it creates that clear market signal. It tells them very clearly how the costs are going to come up, and then they can predict those changes, they can plan for those changes, and they can make the transition so that their profits aren't being hit. So businesses are often quite supportive of it. It would also spur or create an incentive to electrify our transportation system. So if we think about, you know, Detroit and the automotive industry, there's every reason for them to transition away from, you know, fossil fuel-based transportation to electric energy, and that would go right along with, like, GM's plan to electrify and produce EV vehicles.
As we look to the future, you've been at this for a while now, and, you know, about a decade down the road, we're still talking about it. How optimistic are you that we're going to see this over the next decade come to fruition?
Oh, I think we'll see it before the end of the decade for sure, and we absolutely have to see it before the end of the decade because we need those emissions reductions in order to offset tipping points that we can't back away from. We need to do it for the people who are suffering today and for our children and grandchildren. And I am optimistic because I do think the current administration understands that we're out of time, and we are out of time. And I actually think that our organization and many other organizations have lifted up the voice so that legislators cannot turn away. And we can feel hopeful also in that businesses have led the way and small cities and municipalities have led the way to transitioning to clean forms of energy. It's good for our economy. It produces jobs. It's just the right thing to do. It will definitely happen. And actually, other countries are ahead of us. So I think there's another reason for our country to get going on it.
Dr. Del Bono, I want to thank you for your time today and for the discussion.
Thank you, and have a good one.
That is Dr. Lisa Del Bono. She is founder and executive director of Michigan Clinicians for Climate Action and serves as state coordinator for Citizens Climate Lobby in Michigan. For more information on today's guest and topic, visit our website at WEMU.org. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.